This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Coming up, let me get back into what's going on with Library. The final court judgment having been issued in that particular case. Also, the initial ruling coming in for the Ripple case. I think that was today. We can get into that as well. Here tonight, it's Ian.
And Jay.
And the number, if you want to join us, 603-283-6160. I don't know, Jay, if you've heard these people talking about invading Mexico with the U.S. military and going after the cartels.
A little bit, and I definitely have some commentary on that. So when I was in Colorado, I worked with a whole bunch of guys that were, you know, undocumented.
Mm-hmm.
One thing, so I talk about this a lot. Like, I really, really like that Spanish culture. I like that their priority is, like, their family. They really like their kids. They're proud of their kids.
That's why they've come up here, right? So they can work and send money back to their family.
A lot of them are raising families here and, you know, are going to stay here. Mm-hmm. And you know, those Mexican folks, are if they're your neighbor, they, especially first-generation ones, and they have kids, they're a huge asset to your community. It'd be just as much of an asset as if you had Amish or Mennonite neighbors. And they had kids, yeah, because they're just, they're good people, reliable people. They want to get along with everybody. They want to raise their kids. And the example is like a lot of the white guys I worked with in Colorado.
You were doing construction farm stuff, right?
Farming. We were corporate, big, you know, large scale farming. The outfit I worked for, we worked about 3,000 acres. One of the dairies we worked for, you know, milked 6,200 cows, big, you know, corporate dairy. Anyways, so like a lot of the white guys, you know, a lot of them would be like, oh, you know, check out this hoe that I found on Tinder. Or they would be like, oh, I got to pay child support, or, you know, I got to deal with my kids this weekend. I can't, you know, work or whatever or something. But a lot of these guys' agenda was like going to the bar, picking up girls, you know, the rims that he got for his truck, or, you know, the stupid, you know, paint job on, you know, the Harley Davidson motorcycle, the four wheelers, the jet ski. Like, that was what they were proud of. To where, like, the Mexican guys were like, oh, look at this picture that my daughter drew me. My wife sent me a picture of it today while I'm at work, you know, on the phone. And they'd show me, like, videos of their kids doing things. Like, Julio was one guy I worked with a lot. And, he had three kids, and I remember his oldest son was like 8 and could run the skid steer like a pro, you know, a Bobcat skid steer machine, and he could like stack hay with it, and he would like, you know, load the feed truck. Like, the kid had mad skills because he was just following his dad around, wanting to work with his dad. So like these guys, so one of the things that I learned from Julio is Julio would say to me, he's like, when you have a baby, he says that baby is going to want to be interested in doing things, and whenever that baby's interested in doing it, just do it with them, because then they're going to love doing it. So, like, you know, I sent Sheriff Hathaway actually a video of my son, who was 18 months old at the time. We were working on a chicken coop, using the impact driver, drilling screws in as we were assembling the chicken coop, you know, with the power tools. Mm-hmm. I'm holding it, and he's just pulling the trigger and just, you know, having fun. And but the thing is, if you were going to start, so the other thing too, Mexican culture really likes the cartel. Like, all the Mexican people I met when I talked to them about the cartel, they didn't have like a bad, you know, saying about the cartel. They were like, oh, the cartel takes care of a lot of old people, and, you know, the cartel helps people, you know, they had positive things sort of cartel.
Yeah.
And the thing was the cartels is very serious if you're going to try to compete with them.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to try to deal drugs, or you're going to try to, you know,
you're gonna hear
interfere
from
in their operation, or, you know, take some of their whatever, it's not going to go good.
Yeah.
But, you know, like if, you know, like Julio would say, if my wife and kids were on the side of the road with a flat tire, you know, he would rather a couple of cartel guys stop and help him out than mm-hmm. a couple of Polizia.
Federales,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Stop mm-hmm. and help them out because, you know, the police were, like, very corrupt. And a lot of these cartel guys, you know, they're a lot of them are family men. Now, there are, you know, if you, like, with some of the child trafficking stuff that's going on, there's definitely some cartel dudes that are, you know, into bad stuff. And, you know, there's a lot of people, you know, that, well, there's a segment of the population that's definitely into, you know, bad, evil things.
Mm-hmm. Some of them probably work for the Federales.
Or they work, you know, they're working for the Biden administration, you know, mm-hmm. rounding up all kinds of kids so, you know, the Clintons can get their, you know, adrenochrome mm-hmm. fix or, you know, whatever. But anyways, but if you were to start, like, if the government really wanted to create some major, like, domestic terrorism in the United States, like, you know, from people with, you know, within the United States of America, they start, you know, bombing villages and places in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many Mexican nationals here that would basically set this country on fire from inside.
Of course, they're going to do the same thing that they did in Afghanistan and Iraq, where they're going to say, oh, well, we thought it was a cartel target, but it turned out it was just a wedding party or it was just a hospital or whatever. I mean, the idea that that's somehow not going to happen in Mexico is absolute fantasy.
And you're right. And I believe that, you know, the people who want war in this country, all the people who are the war hawks, the neocons,
mm-hmm.
you know, all of Jeffrey Epstein's friends, they want massive distraction. They want, you know, they want things going bad here. They would love to see actual real homegrown domestic terrorism, and I believe one of the ways that they could attain that goal is by doing a military operation and just murdering all kinds of innocent people in Mexico.
Right.
Because you take
going to be blowback from that, and it
absolutely.
And if you thought that 9/11 was blowback, and it was right, like that, if you thought that was enough. And that's really the only significant kind of terrorism that has happened outside of maybe the Boston Marathon bombing in the last 20 years in the United States. There's a whole ocean between here and there, right? Like, there's a lot of space between the United States and the Middle East. But there's not so much space between Mexico and the United States. So it would be a whole new ballgame as far as blowback is concerned. There would be nothing stopping whatever kind of blowback would come from the attack or the potential of an attack against the cartels.
And I would dare to suggest that probably 95% of the so-called undocumented, maybe even 99% Mexicans that are here in America are very able-bodied,
mm-hmm.
they are strong, they are willing, and you kill their grandma, mm-hmm. their cousins, whatever, these people
it's
are
on.
So loyal to family.
And a lot of Americans would do the same thing.
Right.
You know, if somebody, if the Chinese government carpet bombed their neighborhood and their whole family died while they were at work, they would have literally nothing else to live for, and they would then make it their life's mission to attack back the Chinese military.
The only way to solve this drug issue is to regulate drugs just like tomatoes.
Yes.
And the other thing, too, is that we would keep the bad people. So we got people. So there are obviously people coming into this country from all over the world who just want to collect a welfare check. Those people exist.
Mm-hmm.
There are people muling drugs. Those people exist. But I've actually never really met any of those guys. All the Mexicans I met were here to work hard. And, man, I was glad they were here. And we need more of them, I think.
Absolutely.
Those people are great.
There's a lot of jobs that are still unfilled here in the United States.
And their culture is so good. I mean, like, these guys, like, you know, they didn't, like, hang out and look at devices and watch TV. You know, they were, you know, playing music, you know, in Julio's house, you know, him and his wife and his kids, mm-hmm. they would play the guitar. One kid played the violin. Another kid played a banjo. A lot of times they would have, like, just, you know, friends and family over. They had like little, you know, parties and get-togethers a lot, just in the yard on weekends.
That's cool.
You know, and like fellowship is just such a integrated part of their life. They all know each other. And that's another thing too. You take on a culture and a community of people who work together, who know each other. If they're forced to go in combat, Just like when King George and the best army in the world came to the 13 colonies, they fought a bunch of people who worked together and worshiped together and fellowshiped together and had similar cultural ideas and beliefs and goals in life.
Yep.
That's why the greatest army in the world got destroyed. And the same thing would happen if you're going to do that.
I think that even if we were to, and this is completely unrealistic to do this, but even if we were to grant that the U.S. military would somehow magically not bomb any wedding parties and not bomb any hospitals, or somehow magically not kill any innocent, quote-unquote, people.
They only killed cartel members.
They still would have a hell of a fight on their hands because you're not dealing with cave-dwelling individuals, right? You're talking about a highly paid group of people who have I don't know how many billions of dollars in resources at their disposal, right? Like, these cartels are not dealing in, you know,
let's remember Eric Holder gave them, you know, massive amounts of weapons years ago.
Yeah.
And that's all we know about. So they got all kinds of military hardware.
Yeah, absolutely. And they would have gotten it however they would have gotten it because they have billions of dollars, right? So, like, that's not a problem for them at all. These are not people slinging dime bags, okay? We're talking about big money dealers. And so, if you remember, there was, I think it was last year, El Chapo's son, if I recall correctly, got snatched up down in Mexico. Do you remember hearing about this?
Yep, I do.
Danny actually called the show from the crypto show and described what it was like as he was just trying to go back home or wherever in Puerto Vallarta or wherever he was staying at the time. And he was, like, passing by burnout husks on the road of vehicles and trucks. And, like, it was a crazy situation down there. There was video coming out of cartel members firing at helicopters with, you know, tracers and automatic weapons. And, like, you know, we were only seeing a fraction of what was actually going on down there. And that was just for them trying to break this guy out of prison, the son of El Chapo. That was how they responded to just trying to get one of their guys back. And imagine how they're going to respond to an actual assault by the U.S. military, an actual full-on military attack. They will do whatever it takes to protect their business. And that will include targeting, likely, innocent Americans, which is what I expected David Hathaway was going to say when I asked him about it. How is it going to change how the cartels treat the average person now, which is to say they leave them alone, which is one of the reasons why the people in Mexico that you've talked to, they like the cartels. They're donating to, you know, charities and things like that. They're not doing bad things to the average Mexican. It's only the competing cartels that are getting their attention in a negative way. But if the U.S. military comes down there and starts bombing and shooting and droning and doing the things that they do, well, then not only is the U.S. military likely going to be targeted by the cartels, but I suspect innocent Americans will also be captured and horrible things likely will be done to them, which is, again, what you were talking about, Jay, of here's their excuse now. Oh, here's now domestic terror on the part of the cartels. They're attacking us, and so that will just be another reason for them to escalate the war against the American people.
So as a student of history, you know, if we look back to, I believe it was called the New American Memorandum, that was a document I believe was written by Cheney, Dick Cheney, and this was like 98. And somebody correct me if I'm wrong. Ricky might know about this. The New American Memorandum basically said something like America's military is weak. There's not a lot of morale for the military. We need a modern day Pearl Harbor.
Oh, and then 9/11.
9/11 happened. Now you referred to it as blowback. I'm pretty convinced it was an inside job that was orchestrated by, you know, powers to be to sell a whole bunch more weapons to take freedom away. All these agenda and goals that the Jeffrey Epstein's friends all want.
Mm-hmm.
After this Ukraine thing fizzles out because the rest of the world, every country but the Five Eye nations is just, like, not into this, of the world, basically. But so you have, like, China, you know, Brazil, Russia, you got all the BRICS countries and, joining in their trade agreements with, you know, outside the U.S. dollar. And then you have all kinds of other nations adding on to these BRICS countries. So they're going to need something again. So we should be, you know, vigilant and suspecting and watching out for some kind of nonsense like, you know, the military going to, start some chaos, the U.S. military going to start some chaos in Mexico, just to stir up, you know, all of these, you know, peaceful worker bees that are here that are now going to turn into irate, you know, soldiers in, you know, overnight.
Well, the good news about that is, from what I understand, when they were approached about it, the Pentagon said they would prefer not to start something in Mexico because they know it's probably a really bad idea.
But these people, you know, Jeffrey Epstein's friends, you know, I'm just going to refer to them mm-hmm. as, you know, the people who own Raytheon and all that stuff and yeah. all their congressmen and there's all their government critters that they finance. Those guys want, you know, this country to burn. You know, all the people, they would love to see a summer of 2020 times 100 or times a million. And, you know, so I believe that the fact that they're talking about, they're saber rattling, you know, let's go after Mexico, let's go after these cartels, is because they want to blow back. See, the FBI now has to go, you know, recruit a whole bunch of people, you know, to like with the Whitmer thing, for example, you know.
Yeah, they have to fake the yeah. attacks. They have to fake the terrorists.
And so we all know that there's like a handful of people, you know, everybody knows a handful of people who could be convinced to do anything, who could be told to do anything. Mm-hmm. These like low esteem, you know, weak,
right.
you know.
Like the cops.
I'm thinking like low esteem, weak, like poser men that are.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying.
I forget what they call them. That like, what's the term for like the guys that like don't get laid?
Oh, incels.
So yeah, like you know, so there's a lot of those mm-hmm. out there, right? And
involuntary celibate is yeah, what it stands.
And so we have a whole bunch of you know, like aging, you know, men mm-hmm. that don't have kids. You know, women aren't interested in them, or they're not right. even interested in them. You like the you know the versions are the oldest they've ever been in America, I guess. You know, for you
wouldn't
know for
surprise
men.
Me.
You know, mm-hmm. you got you know 5% of the men according to the metadata on the dating apps are you know are screwing you know. 85% of the women, mm-hmm. You know, in those dating apps, and they can just kind of have their way with them because they're, you know, at the top of the, you know, dating chain. And so we got like this whole, you know, element of culture that is ripe to be, you know, twisted, turned, convinced, influenced, incentivized. And, you know, a lot of these people are so, you know, dumbed down, especially the ones that have been raised on internet devices their whole life, that now they're not even interested in women because they're more interested in what the, you know, the algorithm has for them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm
which plays right into the World Economic Forum, by the way, that the second in command guy, the Yuval Harari yep. guy, he's gone on interviews saying that, you know, we don't need all these people. Well, what do right. we do? What do we do with them? Well, we got video games and drugs for, yep. you know, to keep them busy. I want to go to the phones here. We got Chuck on the line in Washington. Chuck, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Yeah, talking about invading Mexico, one of former President Trump's talking points now is to send the United States Navy to, I guess, the Gulf of Mexico or off the shore of the Pacific Ocean and send in military to combat the cartels. But at the
Insane.
Same time, he says that he loves the Mexican president, the Mexican people, and all of this stuff. And he reminds everybody that he's the only president that's never caused a war, all of mm-hmm. these things, while sending people to Syria. So if this guy gets reelected, he's going to have an obligation to follow through with that.
Well, no, he won't. I mean, that's the one good thing that we can count on here is that politicians are liars, and they will say all kinds of things to get elected that they won't actually follow through on. I mean, remember, Trump promised a lot of things the first time around and did not follow through on those things, and that is what every presidential candidate does. They make all kinds of wild promises, and then they finally get elected, and none of those things come true. And they all have a bunch of excuses and reasons for it, but that's just the reality. So that's the good news we have here is even if Trump does get elected and he has talked about going into Mexico with the military, he also talked about building a wall and he talked about doing a bunch of other things that he didn't do. So likely what will happen is the Pentagon will tell him, Mr. Trump, this is a really bad idea. And then he'll say, well, my advisors have said we shouldn't do this. And that'll be the end of the story.
Yes.
Hopefully.
Sending the Navy to the coast of Mexico sounds like that's really ripe for a Gulf of Tonkin kind of, operation. Gulf of Tonkin is where the U.S. put the U.S. military Navy put one of their ships, a destroyer or something, in the Gulf of Tonkin. And then the U.S. blew this ship up. And it was blamed.
This was what started Vietnam, correct?
Right, and it was blamed on the Vietnam, mm-hmm. you know, whatever people. So, like, you know, and I just you know, that's like a, that's a thing that was declassified. That's like a true thing that happened. Very, you know, few people, you know, all the pro-war people say, oh, that doesn't happen. But the thing is, the U.S. government is going to need a new boogeyman real soon as this Ukraine thing is done. And the fact that there are politicians talking about doing this is very scary.
It's scary. There's no doubt about it. Chuck, anything else you want to share? Did we lose you? Chuck going once? Chuck going twice? I guess he's gone. Let's continue here. We got Ricky in Pennsylvania. Go ahead, Ricky.
Thank you there, Brother Ian. Brother Jay, good evening.
What's on your mind tonight?
Well, hopefully I get to my topic, but maybe if I do, I don't know. But now that Jay brought it up, I think I am going to comment on this. Yeah, Jay, you're correct. Ukraine's definitely fizzling out. That ain't happening. As far as Mexico, yeah, that's the obvious choice. Be all and end all. Screw Big Pharma. They knew exactly what they were doing when they created fentanyl. They knew exactly what it would do. And you know what? Here we are with Mexico. It's a given. But here's how I look at this. Because of BRICS, you got NATO, you got the G7, you got all the alliances and all these things all locked up. It's really hard to create a good war now, but here's the one I'm looking at. The scariest one. We've been playing with it. We've been brewing with it. We've been sticking our nose in. And,
the what one?
Israel. Between Israelis and the Palestinians. One of these days, that's going to be the big one. That's going to be the big one that we're going to do, and we're being real careful how we're going to play it, I promise you. That's going to be the big one one day.
Well, I hope you're wrong about that. Obviously, the U.S. government has already been sending, I don't know how many billions of dollars to the Israeli government, so they are still, they're still meddling in that situation in the same way that they're, or in a similar way that they're doing with Ukraine. So.
25 years ago, they were sending them like $15 billion a year.
It's crazy.
And Israel's like, was the sixth or seventh largest economy in the world or something like that.
Yeah, they'd be fine without...
They probably wouldn't be quite the largest economy in the world without the $15 billion in, you know, donations. That were...
Yeah, and this is one of those things, and thank you, Ricky, for the call tonight. This is one of those things that both the Republicans and the Democrats agree on. They love to fund the Israeli government. And just to be clear, they're not supporting the Israeli people. They're supporting the Israeli government in their violent acts against the Palestinian people. That's what's going on there. In the same way that Republicans and Democrats also cheer on this Ukraine situation. You've got Biden saying that the U.S. is going to be with Ukraine till the very end of this whole situation and talking about how we're all about supporting liberty and freedom, as though the Ukrainian people have any semblance of liberty and freedom.
And let's not forget, foreign aid is stealing money from the poor people of a rich country and giving it to the rich people of a poorer country.
That's exactly right. Giving it to the government people in those poorer countries. It never makes it to the little guys there. There's more coming up here. The number is 603-283-6160. You can join us on Free Talk Live.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
USA News Update. A pair of IRS whistleblowers claiming the Justice Department slow-walked its investigation into Hunter Biden will publicly testify before Congress next week. IRS investigator Gary Shapley and a second unnamed individual will appear before the House Oversight Committee Wednesday. Shapley told lawmakers the president's son received preferential treatment in his tax and gun case and claimed DOJ officials refused to follow evidence that may have implicated President Biden. Mayor Adams is blaming the media after a new poll reveals New Yorkers are increasingly worried about crime.
A recent Siena poll revealed 41% of New Yorkers have never been as concerned about crime as they are now. The mayor said the media plays with New Yorkers' psyches.
You travel with an armed army in a chauffeur-driven car. Go ride the train, then tell me, without your bodyguard.
I'm Dave Collins. This is USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at GCNlive.com. That's advertise at GCNlive.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Yeah. It is Free Talk Live. You can join the show, and you can bring up whatever you want. By the way, I do want to say thanks to Joseph Scholl, who is a Free Talk Live supporter of our AMPS program. Is silver level, which means Joseph is contributing $5 a month to our AMPS program. AMPS stands for Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support. It's a way to get behind what we do here on Free Talk Live, which has changed a little bit this week. We haven't talked about that yet. I do want to address the changes we've made this week to our programming, and that'll be coming up a little bit later. It's Ian and Jay here tonight, but if you want to join Joseph Scholl and help us support Free Talk Live, help the show get on more great radio stations around the country. We've got about 170 stations that air the show at various different times throughout a week, and we can have more. It is possible. It just takes some time, some effort, and a little bit of money, and so we appreciate the support over at amps.freetalklive.com. That takes you to our Patreon page. You can sign up for as little as $5 per month, and that is what Joseph is doing, so we definitely appreciate the help with that. You get some perks. You get some benefits, like access to the AMP-only podcast, which is the full radio show episodes, but without any of the recorded commercials that you might normally get if you were just downloading our regular podcast. So once again, that's amps.freetalklive.com. Let's go to the phones here. Skeeter is on the line in California. Go ahead, Skeeter.
Yeah, hey, I just wanted to say it again. First, I'm a true capitalist, and which I don't think you guys are. And
whatever that means, dude.
Yeah, because capitalism essentially, you know, hasn't existed like on a mega level since the inception of the Federal Reserve Bank, as far as I'm concerned, because capitalism would be, for example, a couple of people who have money that they've earned or inherited, maybe, or, you know, got some money, and they pool it to, like, because they have an idea and they want to grow their money and do something good. To where, like, the examples that the left likes to use of capitalism aren't really capitalism.
They're corporatist, usually.
Yeah, they're all just you know, sucking on the nipple of the Federal Reserve, you know, BlackRock and
big banks,
you know, all the big banks, all the big corporations, military-industrial complex, pharmaceutical, just everything, corporate ag, none of that is capitalism.
Yeah.
If any of those guys are borrowing money from a bank and the bank's getting the money due to out of thin air, fractional reserve banking, it's no longer capitalism. It's crony socialism.
Yeah, personally, I don't use the term capitalist to describe myself. I'm a free market or free marketeer or whatever you want to call it, free marketer. I believe in free markets, and I think that in free markets, people can try different organizing methods. So if you want to have yourself a commune, go right ahead. Have yourself a commune and see how that works out for you. You want to have an employee-owned business, or you want to, you know, have a dictatorship of your own business? I don't care. As long as it's voluntary, then it's fine with me. So that's my viewpoint. Go ahead, Skeeter.
That's the difference between our philosophies. We disagree on what the market will do. I don't think the market will preclude aggressive strategies in its, when it functions correctly. So, okay, so let me get back to the drug war, right? We can debate that another time.
So you agree that the market is not functioning correctly now, right?
What's that? Yeah, I changed my perspective that I think government is a market experiment. It's part of the market. It's just it's going to be a failed market experiment, and we need to evolve out of it, right?
I don't disagree with you. It's one of the first things that I think we might have agreed on, Skeeter, that people need to evolve out of the desire for this government as we know it, which, of course, as we know, are just goons and tyrants, despots and parasites. We definitely need to evolve out of that into something that actually respects human rights. That's what I would say about it. But anyway, what about the war on drugs?
Yeah, we agree on a lot of things. It's just I call in on the disagreements, and you tend to, like, not listen to anything I say because you think I'm totally against a lot of your positions. But, okay, so getting back to the drug war. So, again, I'm a evolutionary utilitarian who utilizes true market strategies, I believe. That does not preclude aggression, right? So I call in to criticize the libertarian non-aggression strategy of drug law repeal, as it brings about unwanted, unintended consequences for people trying to get rid of government, since it strengthens the very weakness and brings about the collapse of most governments, namely the fact that they tend to collapse fiscally and not through repeal. By repealing.
Okay, you've lost me already.
I'm following them here.
Okay. Can you rephrase that, maybe?
Which part? I was reading, actually.
Oh, you're reading again. Well, I wish you would just actually, like, tell us what you believe or what you have actually learned.
I can paraphrase it if you need to. It's just...
yeah, what are you trying to say about the war on drugs specifically? What would you like to see done?
So, I think you... I'm almost done. Okay, so let me just finish reading. By repealing drug laws and legalizing drugs, you increase their tax revenue and decrease their spending, fighting these unprofitable wars, and therefore extend the life of the very entity you are trying to eliminate. That's it.
Okay, you're saying that if we suspend the drug laws, we increase the tax, which gives more revenue to government, correct?
And also decrease their spending.
And
how does that decrease their spending if they're getting more revenue?
So you know how much the drug war costs, right? Fighting the drug war.
Yeah, over the years it's been probably trillions of dollars. But they would just spend that money elsewhere. And then if you're saying they're getting more revenue, then wouldn't they? No. That would be increasing their spending because they would be getting more revenue.
I think that's a fallacy, what you just said. Like,
why would that be a fallacy? I mean, that's how they do. If they get more money, they spend more money. I mean, that seems pretty basic to me.
Yeah. The problem is their budget is not unlimited, right? They have to justify. So the problem right now currently is that the public believes they are getting more than they pay for in terms of tax revenue. And this is true, I think, at this very moment, before you know.
The public, you're saying people believe they're getting more than what they pay for with government? I don't know anyone who believes that.
I do.
Yeah, U.S. citizens.
There are some people.
In fact, most of the statists believe that. They're comfortable with their lives. They're happy with what government provides, given what they pay in taxes. Mm-hmm. It's because one thing, they don't take into account the debt they're accumulating, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is where the evolutionary strategy of
accelerating government.
Okay, but let's focus real quick here on what you were saying about the war on drugs. So are you saying that you believe that people would be better off? You as a utilitarian, as you've described yourself, which is to say somebody who believes that anything can be done as long as you think it will be the best outcome for most people or whatever it is that you value. Are you saying that people would be better off in your mind if marijuana had never been legalized in the dozen or however many states, 20 states where it's been legalized?
It's because the profit is back end loaded. When you collapse the government and you start actually profiting from the what you call the free market, which I just call the market, then you, since you get to that point faster, you start to see the, it's opportunity cost. So
okay, but you didn't answer my question. I asked you if you think people would be better off if the marijuana had never been legalized in the states that have legalized it.
Yes, because it's back-end loaded. Again, I answered that. I don't think you'd listen.
Because it's back-end loaded.
Back-end loaded, as in, so now it's, like, decriminalized and it's taxed. And so, like, Massachusetts is, like, a 20-something percent tax on, you know,
right.
Cannabis purchases. And then, so what's happening is the state's getting all this more money is what he is talking about. And he's seeing that as a problem. And I don't like that there's so much regulation involved. I said earlier in the show, you know, all these drugs, every single one of them, I'm going to say fentanyl and opiates included, cocaine, all that stuff, should be regulated like tomatoes. You know, there's no tax on tomatoes, and you don't have to report on your on tomatoes you grow or you harvest or you sell or you trade or any of that stuff. but the bigger problem here, and Skeeter, maybe you know a little bit about this, is best I can tell, and I've talked with a bunch of firefighters and EMTs about this thing, you know, for the past year and a half, the most of the recreational users of fentanyl and opiates, which is like the biggest problem right now, according to, you know, everyone, are people who are on welfare.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the bottom line. And I can't say this enough, but like if you see an EMT, emergency medical technician, like a guy rides around in an ambulance, you know, there are fire departments all over the country. They're usually pretty friendly, but if you just ask them, say, hey, how many people that overdose or that you give Narcan to, or that you pick up their bodies off the ground that are dead, that you're putting them in a body bag because of an overdose, have an EBT card in their pocket? And the answer that I've gotten is all of them.
A lot of them, yeah.
So the Health and Human Services, the federal government, all state governments that are giving money to all of these people, now they can just comfortably, you know, get high, and they can, they get the money from the state, they're getting fed from the state. It's basically what the government wants. They want a whole segment of the population like this because it's like, look what's going on. Give us more money. And then, and so Health and Human Services is literally murdering people by giving them money to maintain their drug habit. And then all of these fentanyl and opiates that are, you know, the people who are buying with their, you know, EBT card money and their food stamps and, or their, whatever, like some of these guys get like just cash, you know, from there, they can just take out.
So just to clarify what Skeeter's saying though, you're saying you want all this to continue. You want to continue the war on drugs as is, or maybe even escalate it because you believe that will result in the failure of the state sooner rather than later.
Yeah. That's it.
Okay. So you don't care one iota for the people's lives who are suffering, the people, the millions of Americans who've been arrested and put into prison cells over possession of drugs or the sales of drugs or the smuggling of drugs. You don't care one bit about them. To you, those people are a stepping stone towards ending what you believe, ending the state sooner, even though after 50 years of this war on drugs going in its current form, that has done absolutely nothing to end the state. You think that it's somehow helping end the state and all those people deserve what happened to them?
No, I do. So I take them into account. But what you do is you don't consider the people I save once we get rid of government faster.
So
And more importantly, we eliminate, once it collapses, we show the people by punishing them, by loaning government money, we show them that they've totally wasted like all their investment.
Well, I guess it's a good thing that you're out in California, Skeeter, and thank you for the call tonight. I mean, it's a good place for somebody who wants to accelerate. He's an accelerationist, right? The idea of, hey, let's just let the government get worse. That way it will fall in upon itself and fail sooner rather than later. California is certainly one of the biggest governments in as far as the state governments go. And so, you know, if there's going to be a government failure like that, then maybe it'll happen there before it happens somewhere else. What do you think about that whole idea, Jay, the idea of this accelerationism of let's just vote for the worst guy and make the worst thing happen sooner rather than later?
Well, there's something else I'd like to comment on also. Sure. About, like, you know, let's look at the last 50 years of, you know, the drug war. But first on accelerationism. So in 2016, when I was in Colorado, there was this group called Anarchists for Hillary.
Hmm.
And they wanted their ideas, like, let's get Hillary Clinton in because she's the worst, most evil, worst, you know, diabolical, you know, individual that's out there,
mm-hmm.
you know, running for president. So the system will, so it'll all collapse hard and fast. I'd really like to see it collapse, get to the point to where, you know, there is no longer a platform for psychopaths that we, you know, call government. Because that's basically all it is. The most of the people who go into government, you know, are go there for bad intentions, I believe. Now, there are, like, a lot of people in government, like, they're really, their intentions aren't bad, or they couldn't even be bad, like, you know, the mailman, you know, the guy plowing the road. There's actually a lot of good cops out there, I believe, because, like I've said before, 90% of my police interactions have been positive. And I've had a lot of police interactions that were negative, but I've had many, many, many positive ones. But anyways, the thing is, too, is like what Skeeter is talking about, how, you know, the war, continuing the war on drugs will collapse the government. Smedley Butler is quoted for saying
the Marine.
And he was like a World War One guy.
Mm-hmm.
One of his quotes is, and I could be a little wrong on this, but was something like, war is the lifeblood of the state, is something that he's quoted as saying.
Mm.
And so, the last 50 years of the drug war, what has that done? Has that diminished the state or increased the state?
It's increased it, obviously.
And also, if you want to talk about the sales tax on, say, legal cannabis, for example,
mm-hmm.
versus the amount of money the criminal justice system is collecting from cannabis being illegal. Mm-hmm. So in Massachusetts, for example, you know, 20 years ago, when you got caught with the wrong species of salad in your pocket,
right?
You know, you spent $5,000 on a lawyer.
Well, plus the fines to the courts.
Well, all this right? stuff. So there's the fines for the courts.
Here it was $420 for a while in New Hampshire. That was literally the fine for possession of marijuana.
Yeah, that didn't happen by accident. and that was probably somebody, you know, somebody who made that number up was probably, you know, burning a joint while he was doing it.
Yeah, good chance.
You know, so anyways, but if you look at what happens when you get charged with a crime, for example, mm-hmm. possession of marijuana in, you know, anywhere 20 years ago, for example, probably still in New Hampshire, is what's happened is a bond is created in what's called the court registry investment system. And in that court registry investment system, they create these bonds. This is something I'm learning a little bit about.
Is there any evidence for this? Because it's an interesting theory. I want you to keep explaining it, but is there actually any real evidence for this?
Yes.
Okay.
There is some real evidence for it. How to present it, I'm not sure mm-hmm. yet, but there definitely is.
Okay, so what happens when they create this bond?
So they create this bond, and these bonds are, like, traded on...
It's based on the charges in the case?
Yes, but not really based on the charges in the case, but basically based on a money value. It doesn't really matter what the charge is. There's all kinds of... You know, almost all these charges that are created under this have no victim, you know, no injured party, no contract violation. They trade, like, you know, daily on these, you know, some kind of stock exchange out of the UK is, you know, allegedly what's going on. But these bonds yield tremendous amounts of dollars to the court system. The other thing that happens is everybody in the court system gets paid, and they all have pension funds that are being funded. Whether or not the pension fund on its own makes any profit, like I believe in Manchester, New Hampshire, the public employees pension fund is one of these that's supposed to create increase by 8 points or 8%. every year, mm-hmm. which is like really difficult, except for when there's like a really, you know, good year in, you know, the stock Stocks. Market or whatever. Yeah. But if it doesn't appreciate or increase at all, then the taxpayers have to make up that 8%. So,
yeah.
So what happens everywhere in America is the pensions are funded before infrastructure. That's why mm-hmm. our infrastructure is so poor.
Right. The bureaucrats got to get their pensions.
Right. And the pensions are being run by, you know, all the other incompetent, you know, everywhere you look in government where there is like, you know, the government psychiatrist versus the free market psychiatrist mm-hmm. or the government, you know, mechanic versus, yep. you know, the
government guy gets more money.
Well, the government guy gets more money, but generally the government people are lazy.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
so the guy that's landscaping for the government can be very lazy because right. he gets paid no matter what. He gets a pension no matter what.
Yeah.
This culture builds. He has qualified immunity. The social workers, the whole not everyone. So, and the way that all this money gets into these people's hands and into these pensions is most of it is a lot of it's through taxation and revenue collection on the government, but actually most of it is really from just deficit spending. Creating more deficit, creating more money out of thin air.
Mm-hmm.
And every time the government loans money and gives grants, it's just money created out of thin air. Like, so, Skeeter, there's a lot of financial issues with your flaw. What did he call this?
Accelerationism?
Your acceleration that he's talked about, there's a lot of flaws with it. There's a lot of issues with it. I don't think he understands fractional reserve banking, what power that gives these people, what power mm-hmm. that gives the government.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only reason that you can have the massive war we have. That's the only reason you can have $35 billion right. F-35s, you know, $12 billion whatever. It's ridiculous. $50,000 hammers, you know, $100,000 toilet seats. It's because of fractional reserve banking. And so...
Well, I think there's also a moral issue with it, too. I mean, I personally would not want to vote for someone like a Donald Trump or a Hillary Clinton with the expectation that this is going to make things worse. I could not... I mean, even though you can argue, and I think there's a successful argument, Mark has made it many times, that voting is, at the federal level, is relatively immaterial. It's
right,
not going to
sure.
make any real difference one way or another. But still, I don't want blood on my hands.
Right.
Okay, so if I'm going to participate in voting, and I don't mind doing it at the state level because in a lot of cases I'm voting for people that I actually know, a lot of free staters, a lot of actual principled libertarians, voluntarist types, you know, liberty-loving anarchists that actually can get elected here. I feel good about voting for
yeah,
those
me
people.
Too.
But, you know, at the national level, you're voting for evil. I mean, that's yep. what he's essentially saying is we need to continue evil, we need to increase the evil, and therefore... It would seem like he would argue that people should participate in increasing the evil, but at the very least, the accelerationists could say, well, I'm just going to do nothing, right? Rather than actively participate in increasing the evil by voting for it or funding it or advocating for more evil, they could at the very least step back and do absolutely nothing and still call themselves an accelerationist, I think, in that case.
And yeah, so, but his point is, if we just back up and look at the 50 years in our rearview mirror of the war on drugs,
mm-hmm.
it hasn't brought down the government.
No.
It hasn't
empowered
made the people better. More people had died from the war on drugs than the actual drugs. If we look at like all
yeah,
of this drug stuff, there was, you know, less people using all these drugs when they were totally legal.
There were not as many, I don't think, serious addicts. I mean, there were still some addicts. There were still a very small percentage of the population, but they were able to actually pay for their addictions, right? So, like,
yep.
you still had problems with addiction, but you didn't have the theft and the breaking
right.
and enterings and
the
crimes that went along with it.
So, a lot of the reasons you didn't have the theft 100 years ago when heroin was illegal.
Because it was cheap, because it was legal.
Because it was cheap, and because everybody in America was carrying a gun.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it was really hard to commit theft in New York City 100 and some odd years ago, because you could have a gun in New York City 100 years ago, for example. You could have a gun in all these places. They didn't have all this gun prohibition stuff happening.
Yeah, that's a factor nowadays, for sure.
So, like, America should be the safest place in the world for two reasons,
mm-hmm.
guns and cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
The reason crime is down so low is because people can just make a cell phone call and report a crime. You couldn't do that 50 years ago. And then you start looking at places like New Hampshire versus Baltimore or versus, mm-hmm. you know, Chicago. And one of the greatest examples here in New Hampshire is like, you know, downtown in Manchester, like Central Street and Manchester Street, you got like really bad neighborhood. Used to mow lawns down there like mm-hmm. 5-6 years ago. And there was always like, you know, prostitutes coming up and, you know, asking us questions, and it was always like sketchball, crackhead, just check it out, my truck, going to steal something. So me and Silver Dave started open carrying our pistols, and the day we did that, like, people were, as soon as they noticed we had our pistols, they could see them. They just, they went the other way and didn't see them anymore. And then a bunch of free staters started buying up houses in this neighborhood because they're really cheap because it's a real crappy neighborhood.
Right.
And that, so like in a, like seven or eight free staters buy these houses and, you know, within a couple hundred feet of each other.
Yep.
And
made a big difference. Huh?
And there's like no more sketchballs walking around because everybody going in and out of these houses is carrying guns.
Yeah.
And so one of the older prostitutes told us one day, oh, they all think you're cops. That are buying, that are in the neighborhood, because they don't know, you know, and they don't want anything to do with any cops. They don't want, but they don't want to do anything criminals.
They don't
want to
get shot.
Do not want to deal with people that are going to defend themselves.
No, they don't.
And if you're open carrying, you're probably going to defend yourself.
Yep, that's a hard target right there.
Because you, if you're attacked as someone who is carrying, you have to draw your weapon, or otherwise, if you get beat up, they take it from you. You're probably dead.
Right.
So you know, so the thing is, there's just a whole bunch of reasons. And, you know, 100 years ago, the government wasn't just giving people willy-nilly money and wasn't giving them food.
Right.
And then, you know, and then places where you can just live really comfortably, like California, year-round, now you have these problems because all those people are on welfare.
Yeah, it's really frustrating to, you know, have somebody like Skeeter just completely dismiss all of the victims of the war on drugs and use them as essentially his stepping stone to say, well, you know, it's fine. All these people that have been put into prison, all these people that have been murdered, all these people that have lost their families, their lives, their freedoms over this war on drugs, it's fine because someday it'll end and we just have to keep using them and victimizing them. It's like, no, if we can end that violence, even if it does result in tax revenue to the state, I still think the people in those legal states are better off because they're not getting rounded up in mass and thrown in prison cells.
Sure.
It's not to say that it's a good situation there because obviously you still, if you don't have the permission slip to grow the marijuana, they're still going to raid you and they're still going to throw you in a jail cell. So I hope that New Hampshire can do things differently.
Skeeter, I hope you're listening. You need to work on your critical thinking skills. Check out the School Sucks podcast. Brett Ronay is really good about that. And his logic and reasoning you know, abilities have probably been diminished by internet devices and modern culture. So just work on it.
More coming up here. Hour number three is on the way. You can join us on Free Talk Live.
It's all too obvious. We're being distracted by meaningless news headlines. When you dig to find the truth, you discover that the American way of life is being threatened by the institutions we used to trust. It's easy to see the future holds more food shortages, systematic controls, and government overreach. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are preparing. They're taking steps to be self-reliant and investing in emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy to get started and join the ranks with this limited-time offer. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and get their top-selling four-week emergency food kit. Enjoy tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get new lower pricing this week on these four-week emergency food kits. Secure at least one food kit for each member of your family. They ship free, too. Those who know what's coming are preparing. Smart folks. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.